This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
Joining me today is Annika Plinska, who is finishing her PhD in Southampton University, but she's also currently working on some LOFAR things down in Portsmouth. First of all, what was your PhD in?
My PhD in Southampton that I've done was actually on radio galaxies. Mm-hmm. Radio galaxies basically are one of the largest single objects in the universe and also one of the more powerful, very powerful objects. That is actually a signature of a black hole. So basically if you have a galaxy that we normally in an optical light we would see as a nice spiral galaxy or elliptical galaxy, if you actually look into that in radio waves, what you might see is amazing structures.
Yeah.
Which could be actually really, really massive, a few times bigger than the galaxy, the spiral galaxy that you can see.
Actually larger than the galaxy itself.
Absolutely. Astronomers would call it up to kiloparsec or megaparsec scales. They can be extremely massive. And what that originates from is actually the central black hole. So we're talking of masses of at least a million times more than the mass of our sun. Yeah. If it's active, it may actually produce relativistic outflows to opposite directions from the black hole. Now, these outflows, which are composed of matter like electrons, positrons, this sort of matter, will basically go first through the galaxy itself, then through even further away, and they would drill sort of paths, eventually creating something what we called lobes, radio lobes.
Okay.
This emission can be observed in radio waves, basically. So what you see in radio, two cocoons on each side of the actually black hole.
That's fantastic. That's really awesome. You said that these jets were relativistic.
Yes,
jets. So absolutely. That means that the particles within them are moving at really, really high speeds.
Yes, a significant fraction of the light speed of light. Actually, sometimes it can be observed as if they were moving at superluminal speeds, but that's just observational. If the jet is actually close to our line of sight, you may think that it's faster than actually it is, and that was actually one of the discoveries that really puzzled astronomers for a while. But now we know it's just observational.
Oh, bias. Wow. That's awesome. So by superluminal, you mean faster, it appears to travel faster than the speed of light.
Exactly.
Okay. That's.
But it's not physically true. It's just the observational.
It appears to. It's
yes, exactly.
An illusion.
Yeah.
Okay. And you've begun work on some LOFAR.
Yes. So actually, it's a little bit linked because for my PhD, I was looking into more kind of theoretical work on that. And I looked into these radio galaxies and their jets across cosmological epochs, how they actually evolve as a whole population and how they change the universe, how they affect the universe. At the moment, I started to work on helping to advance some software.
Okay.
That will basically help us to involve international stations, LOFAR stations. So there is a core station in the Netherlands, mm-hmm. and then a few countries around have international ones, like UK, just over here where we are now. There's also a few stations in Germany, and a few other countries have it. Now, these stations have not been included so far into this kind of automatic procedures to generate images of the sky at the radio wavelengths. And basically my job would be to, with collaboration, some people with Bonn, to try to automate it. What interesting thing is in actually including those baselines is that it will give us a very good resolution so that we could see actually much more detailed structures of the radio structures that you can observe. And that would also link to the jets, for example. One of the interesting topics about this is to observe the jets, especially close to the where they're produced, so close to the black holes, when we can actually observe what happens there. So then we have more idea about this, how they're actually produced. That's one of the questions that people are still trying to work on.
Work out how the jets are actually produced.
Exactly.
Are there a lot of different theories about that, or is it sort of a general unknown that people are still working towards?
There have been few ideas over the past 40 years. I think currently there is one favourite, but it's being worked on.
You said that you were looking at these lobes of galaxies.
That's right.
Did you look at any particular galaxies, or was it, did you have, like, for example, do you have a favourite
Do I have a favourite one? Well, as I said, during my PhD, I've been working on whole populations, so I wasn't really looking into the objects themselves. Okay. Actually, very interesting thing is that people believe that these structures and these black holes scale with mass, so we can have the very supermassive ones, that the monsters in the centers of galaxies, which are one of the most massive ones and largest, as well as we can have smaller ones on a scale of stars. When you have a star by the end of its life, and if it's massive enough, after its explosion would actually create a black hole. Now, these black holes may also produce jets. We believe that is depending on the state of their activity of a black hole. So we also believe that this, whatever happens with the stellar black holes and their jet-producing phenomena, is very much similar to this what happens for the supermassive black holes in the galaxies, even though the star, the stellar black holes, are of a few solar masses.
Okay.
And the black holes in the center of galaxies are at least 1 million to 10 or more of solar masses.
So you still get the same phenomena happening.
Yes, but on much shorter scales, so we can actually observe them during a few months, for example, when we see what really happens. And one of these this sort of objects I was doing for my master's research when I was actually doing radio observations was one of the peculiar objects. It's called SS-453.
Okay.
It was believed to be a supernova at some point that has jets inside. So it has a funny structure of a head with ears or wings.
Oh, really?
Or you could even compare it to some, I don't know, maybe a UFO. It is a funny structure, but it's still not sure what really causes it, whether it's some sort of wind that causes a spherical structure, which is not observed, and then plus jets and the lobes, or, well, if the acceleration disk is precessing, that the jets would follow, so they would basically create some sort of helical structure.
Okay, so when the jets are sort of moving around.
Exactly. It's actually my favorite because it's one of the most peculiar ones, and it's really amazing.
Okay.
In a very complicated structure.
Well, we'll try and put a link to the object or an image of the object on the website. Okay, well, all that was really, really fascinating, actually. And thank you very much for coming and speaking to the Jodcast.